full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Please be seated. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, I would like to speak about the epistle in today's sermon. Before I do so, a quick reflection upon our Lord throwing the money changers out of the temple. It's one of the very, very few examples of anger that we see on the part of Jesus Christ. And of course, there was no sin. This was a holy anger. And why was he throwing tables over, took a whip, and was driving these people out of the temple? Why? Because it was sacrilegious what they were doing. They were mistreating a holy place. Now, mind you, this was not the holy place or the holy of holies, but they were close enough where it was defiling God's house. They were commercializing a holy place. The God of Mammon was being worshipped right there in close proximity to the temple of the one and only true God. And Jesus was inflamed with zeal and a holy anger. And the practical lesson here for us, my dear brethren, is how to treat the church. It is a holy place. We must have our very best behavior, our best dress, our reverence. That's why we have, of course, an outline or guidelines for how to conduct ourselves in church. So let this be a reminder to us of the holiness of God's place, seeing that it was, as far as I know, the one and only time, or maybe there was a couple of instances where this happened, where our Lord reacted so strongly. So definitely an exhortation to reverence. What St. Paul is doing in today's epistle is reminding us of horrible sinning that had gone on in the Old Testament. And as we know, the Old Testament was the law of justice, the covenant more of justice, even though the people were still commanded to love God with their whole hearts, minds, souls. And in the new covenant in which we live, it's more the law of love. That's why we don't see such displays of justice in this life. It's the way God has set it up. It's more of a law of fear in the Old Testament and more of the law of love. Or you might say, to put it another way, God shows more his mercy in the new covenant and he showed more his justice in the old covenant. But what's so important for us is to go back from time to time, as St. Paul is telling us to do today, and say, look at how severely God punished these sins. You know, we live in an age of whitewashing of sin, minimizing sin, saying, oh, it's not so bad. And what happens when that thinking begins to pervade people, people lose the sense of sin. And then they will pick up the Old Testament and be horrified. Some people will even use this as a reason to not believe in God. It was, of course, an entirely different time and age, a mentality. People were more used, even not just the chosen people, but everywhere. It was a more of a primitive culture, of course. And they were more used to severity. But this, the important thing is, again, to recognize how bad sin is, and we can understand that by seeing how God dealt with sin in the Old Testament, where his justice did manifest itself. We read about the people being put to death at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the covenant, and the people knew how much God had promised them, was going to give them. They completely turned their backs on God. They were worshiping the golden calf, but that wasn't all. They were fornicating. They were getting drunk. They were dancing immorally. They were just living it up. It was one big party at the foot of Mount Sinai. An utter rejection of God, and they knew better. And so we read about how the tribe of Levi stood by Moses and started to put people to death. It was a purge, a cleansing, because they had strayed so badly. Right there at the very bottom of the mountain, just because Moses was up there for 40 days, was their excuse now. We're going to completely reject God. He had led us out of Egypt miraculously. He's been sustaining us with manna. He's been doing miracle after miracle, and we're going to completely reject him. So we read about the severity of the punishment at the foot of Mount Sinai and other times. We read about how the serpents were unleashed, the fiery serpents. They would bite the people and they would die because they were murmuring and complaining against God. What does St. Paul say? All these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction. So how bad is sin? Well, we just read how bad sin is. And it really makes us think. You know, this Wednesday we celebrate. It's going to be the day of Mr. Troff's funeral, but every year it will be on Wednesday, August 1st, will be the funeral. On August 2nd is the Feast of St. Alphonsus. And he was one of the saints that got that point across over and over in his writings, the evil of sin. And my dear brethren, we can't start to minimize it and say, oh, it's no big thing. We need to realize what sin is. It's a bad thing. And of course, these punishments really make us understand it better. Of course, the greatest reason to be sorry is every time we look at the crucifix and see Jesus shedding every last drop of blood in the worst torments. Why? Because of your and my sins. But St. Alphonsus Liguori gets this point across over and over again. He talks about the evil of mortal sin. It's the worst of all evils. I won't go into depth today, but some of the imagery that he and other saints use is to say it's like being in a state of leprosy, or being in a state of having a corpse within when one lacks sanctifying grace. So you see, my dear brethren, our focus has to be on overcoming sin. And we have to begin by not minimizing it, not having this attitude that it's not a bad thing. It is. It's the worst thing of all. We'll reflect on that in other sermons, the evil of mortal sin. Now, having said all of this, St. Paul finishes today's epistle, or I should say the extract that we have today, by talking about temptation. Now, having said how bad sin is, you would think that, a way of thinking, why wouldn't God set it up so we couldn't sin? So we couldn't fall into this terrible evil. Well, my dear brethren, if that were the case, then none of us would have a free will. We would be programmed computers. We would be programmed to do exactly as God wants, and there would be no merit. We wouldn't even be human. You see, what makes us human is that ability to choose. And we do it on a daily basis. We do it many times throughout each day. We choose. We can choose a good thing. We can choose a bad thing. And when we have that choice, recognize that choice, are inclined to the bad thing, and we say, no, we are loving God. And that's what makes us human. Or it's the full and correct use of our human liberty, would be the way to say it. Are we going to be perfect? Unfortunately not. We are going to fail and fall. But the point is to grow spiritually, to eradicate more and more sin. What does that mean, eradicate? It comes from the Latin word radix, which means root, and it means to pull something out by the roots. If you clip off the top of a weed, it's going to be right back. It's when we go down there and get it out by the roots, pull it out. In other words, know why we're sinning, where we can really look at the roots of sin. You see, if we don't have self-knowledge, then we can't ever eradicate. We can't ever pull out by the root because we're just clipping the top off. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I got angry. I stole. And that's sufficient for a good confession. But you need to ask yourself, why did you get so angry? Why did you steal? Get down to those roots. Pull those roots out. Then we're making real progress. And St. Paul talks about temptation. And here I'm answering the question, besides the fact that we wouldn't have a free will if there is no such thing as temptation or sin, but also the fact, and this is what we need to understand, my dear brethren, that it's in fighting temptation that we get stronger. Every time you successfully overcome a temptation, you are stronger. If you give in to that temptation, you are then weaker. But this is why God allows temptation. Because there's no other way to get strong. We run the risk of sinning. God knows that. He allows us to run the risk of sinning because we have to grow in strength by fighting. Every temptation overcome is a new degree of strength that you acquire. And it does get easier. When we develop good habits, it gets easier. The struggle won't leave us entirely. As long as we're in this life, we have that capacity. There's that possibility we could still lose our souls. We could still fall into mortal sin. But the point is, we get stronger by fighting. Remember that epistle from Sexagesima Sunday we read every year, St. Paul's brag, as it's been called. He talks about all of his sufferings, what he's done, you know, for God, and he knows God is pleased with all that he suffered, and he suffered incredibly. But at the end, he talks about the sting of the flesh that could have been a temptation, it could have been a physical infirmity, it could have been a combination of both and other things, and he's praying, God, please take it away. Don't let it be there. It's too much for me. And God says, no. My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect through infirmity. So what a wonderful lesson St. Paul gives us today. He does tell us to look at the Old Testament so we understand that sin is a very bad thing. We need to overcome it. And as we face temptation, in our lives, as long as we don't put ourselves into temptation, well, then it's completely our fault. But temptation's going to happen. It's going to come our way. And he says, look at it as an opportunity to grow. We always become stronger when we fight it. And remember, God will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.